Attention. 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 News of the day. State of emergency continues in Lebanon over Syria and Israel. Syria was appointed by the United Nations to be one of the peacekeeping forces. Syria, a Muslim nation, pro-Soviet. The major ruling party of Syria has been the Falangist, fascist party ruled by Christians. But Israel is provoking the Christians take a stand that they would rather die than live as Syrians, which Syria threatens to do if the present president is forced to resign, President Sarkis. The former son of the Christian past president is leading the new rightist attempt to reintroduce Christian domination on Lebanon, which is a majority Muslim nation. President Sarkis threatened to resign as president of Lebanon, but it's still being held in abeyance. He will resign if he cannot get commitment from the right-wing fascist Christians to bring about peace. Syria sees sustained provocations daily on the part of the Christian sector in Beirut, continuous firing on Syrians as well as Muslim residents of Beirut. It is hoped that Israel will not intervene directly because Syria apparently has made her stand that Israel must withdraw from her meddling in Lebanon, the Zionist state of Israel. In Vienna, Sadat and the Israeli moderate left Labor Party leader, the Labor Party leader has been forced to live in exile in Vienna, Austria, holding a news conference. Sadat described talks as constructive, it was a friendly meeting. He said there was no use for him, that is, Sadat, leader of Egypt, to negotiate any further with Israel because no new concessions had been made. Israeli Labor Party leader Peres said Israel has nothing new to offer. They refuse to give up their aggressive expansionist policies. Israel has been intransigent, adamant about giving back its conquered territory of the Gaza Strip to Egypt, who it rightfully belongs to, and the West Bank to Jordan, and southern Lebanon turned over to the United Nations peacekeeping forces under, in that sector, General Erskine, a black general from Ghana. Bangladesh and Burma are in very strained relations because of the considerable influx of Muslims from Burma into Bangladesh. Bangladesh is a predominantly Muslim state. However, the number seeking asylum in Bangladesh due to alleged persecutions by the Burma regime against the Muslim sector has caused such overpopulation in Bangladesh that Bangladesh is turning away refugees seeking asylum. Bangladesh was taken over and broke away from India, from Pakistan, in a coup, a rightist coup. that has since maintained a reactionary form of government. It is capitalists that are trying to flee Burma, as Burma is beginning to develop a strong national socialist government, not Nazi, not fascist, left of center, but with some contradictions. The Muslim sector in Burma happened to be the business class. And always there are ethnic problems and race problems, it seems, throughout the world, without exception. Actually, races live in harmony here better than any place in the world, in Guyana, and certainly perfectly so compared to the rest of the world in Jonestown. Malaya, the ruling front, National Ruling Front Party, Coalition One. They were opposed by the DAP, which is a large Chinese business minority party, Democratic Action Party. There is political polarization of Chinese in Malaya. There is a attitude on the part of Chinese capitalist expatriate residents of many countries other than their own Chinese mainland to be above the populace, and it causes great difficulties. The Islamic Party leader lost his seat in what was considered a disaster and a continuation of a military regime that is not progressive. Nor, in fact, does Malaya have much opposition except in the jungles where communist guerrillas are encamped to its military regime. Kampala, in the Basque territory of Spain, riots have broken out throughout the city. Fires started by demonstrators of all the leading buildings of government and institutions. Trouble started when Basque separatist extremists demonstrated demanding their right to a separate state. The Basque people have a high degree of nationalism and are strongly pro-socialistic. It has lasted all night. Main government buildings are burning. Tear gas has driven demonstrators back. One rebel Basque leader was shot in the head. Racial turbulence has broken out in the Puerto Rican sector of New York, New York, as some 130 Puerto Ricans, which are black and brown, were rounded up and arrested. Charges of police brutality were grave, as before they could even be arrested, some 60 had been brutally beaten by the racist police in New York, New York. Those are the high points of the news. Now I'm going to give you background that you must learn in geography so you can have a frame of reference for the nations that you hear about. It's very important that you hear what is going on in the world and know something of those nations. There will be strong testing, People's Rally, Tuesday. So we have a test every week. There will be strong testing on this kind of information. So try very much to listen to it. Albania. The location of Albania is on the west coast of the Balkan Peninsula, bordered by Yugoslavia, a non-aligned socialist nation, on the north and the east, by Greece, that now has a form of democracy after breaking out of the terrible military dictatorship that we saw in the movie Z. Greece borders them on the southeast, and by the Adriatic and the Ionian, I-O-N-I-A-N, seas on the west. How was Albania created? It's a brave communist nation, for many years, pro-Chinese, the first nation, as small as it is, to break away from the Soviet orbit, but recent imperialistic practices of mainland China in Africa has caused Albania to break its alliance with China and form a non-aligned position, and even began again negotiations with the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact. How was Albania created? Slavic invasions following the 5th century drove the ancient Illyrians, I-L-L-Y-R-I-A-N-S, the Albanians' ancestors, southward from the large portion of Yugoslavia they had inhabited. They then settled in the largely mountainous region, which is their present home. Independence was achieved following World War I. They had to wait that long. Size, 11,100 square miles. You can compare that to our own beloved country of Guyana, which is 83,000 square miles, nearly 8 times larger than Albania. Population, where we have here only 700,000, the least inhabited country in the world in Guyana, the best in terms of food for whatever crisis the world faces in the future. One of the few countries that produces much more food than it consumes, giving it a healthy future. But this country of Albania, 11 times smaller than Guyana, has a population nearly exactly 3 times more, between 3 and 4 times more than Guyana. Population of Albania is 2,670,000. 95.2% are Greek, 2.4% are Gypsy, Macedonian, Romanian, and others. 2.4% represent various ancient cults. 69% are Muslim. 21% are Greek Orthodox. 10% are Roman Catholic. The official policy of the government is to allow for freedom of religion, but as in all Marxist countries, people who hold government posts must be atheist, non-church members. Who rules? Perhaps one of the purest forms of communist democracy, the People's Assembly, which is elected every 4 years by all the people and meets twice a year. The leadership of the Albania Workers' Party controls the entire functions of government. It is the only political party, Enver Hoxha, E-N-V-E-R-H-O-X-H-A, a former French teacher who led the National Liberation Movement in World War II, has been the president, who is the guiding force in the communist state of Albania since it gained independence in 1920. The Shkumbi, S-H-K-U-M-B-I, river forms a boundary between the two main racial groups of Albanian peoples, the Gheghs, G-H-E-G-S, in the north, and the Tost, T-O-S-K-S, in the south. The Gheghs are a superstitious and rather primitive clan, stern, hardy, and fierce. They live in a pastoral life in the largely barren land of their region. The Tost are a lively, friendly people, much more advanced than their neighbors to the north. Their land is very fertile, and they are better equipped to pursue their agricultural and industrial labors. Still have evolution to deal with in any communist or capitalist state. Racism, ethnic division is always there. The Tos are advanced not because of superiority, but because they happen to have better land and opportunity to develop their culture and their education. As they are isolated mountain dwellers, the two groups have a tendency to feud among themselves and with each other. But since the communist government has brought about new unity, no outbreak of fighting has been known for years. Albania sponsored the General Assembly resolution that secured recognition of Communist China as the sole representative of China in the United Nations in 1971. The largest number of Albanians, Albania is the name of the country, that live outside their country are concentrated in the Kosovo, K-O-S-S-O-V-O, and Macedonia, M-A-C-E-D-O-N-I-A, regions of Yugoslavia. Massachusetts in the USA has the largest population of Albanian immigrants in the USA. The Albanians are not notorious for rightist attitudes in USA. Much of them are non-political and non-involved, as all America, unfortunately North America, is apathetic these days. We'll move on to Afghanistan. A-F-G-H-A-N-I-S-T-A-N. This is the country that gave the Soviet Union a great deal of peace when it had a recent revolution, a coup that overthrew its existing dictator. And so it will be updated from what I'm giving you. I have to interpret much of this because this is a capitalist perspective on all these nations, but still gives you the essence of truth, and where I do not see the book providing it, I will give it to you from my knowledge of these nations. Afghanistan was important, A-F-G-H-A-N-I-S-T-A-N, because it became a buffer between Iran and the Soviet Union. On the border of the Soviet Union, gave them greater confidence now that it formed pro-Soviet ties, and it almost encircled Iran. And ever since Afghanistan developed a pro-Soviet government, there has been turbulence in Iran from revolutionaries coming across the borders, helping the many, many sectors of the population, which is better than half, that hate the dread dictator of Iran that was put in power after the president of Iran was killed by the CIA, and the former CIA head now heads the dread Shah of Iran's secret police. Where is Afghanistan? Its location in Central Asia. India and Iran meet right where Central Asia, India and Iran, I-R-A-N, meet. Along the northern border lies the Soviet Union. To the west is Iran, and to the south and east is Pakistan. Afghanistan has a short border on the northeast with China. How created? Afghanistan was formed during the 18th and 19th centuries out of the efforts of Britain and Tsarist Russia before its great socialist revolution to create a buffer zone between their empires in the subcontinent and Central Asia. Several Khans, K-H-A-N-S, of the region were involved at the same time in attempting to form an effective unity out of the 15 different racial or ethnic groups in the area. It was 1880 before the British finally, England, imperialist England, ally of U.S. imperialism, found a Khan they could work with and depend upon, and who was able to hold the region together without direct intervention of British or English troops. By 1901, at this Khan's death, the present borders of the state were largely settled. Size of Afghanistan is 251,823 square miles, as compared to Guyana's 83,000 square miles. You can get an idea that way, three times larger than Guyana. It's about the size of the state of Texas. Population, over 18 million. But still, you see how many, many more mouths there are to feed in ratio to their population, their land, and they don't have the fertile land that we have in Guyana. Over 18 million. They include Pathans, Pathans, Pushtuns, Pushtuns, Pakhtuns, Pakhtuns. That group I just mentioned are 58.7% of the population. Tadzhik, Tadzhik, is 28.7%. Uzbek, Uzbek, is 5.3%. Hazara, Hazara, is 2.7%. Others, Christian tribes, black, that are pure African, so forth, is 4.6%. 99% of Afghanistan is Muslim. Rare thing to see a religious state go communist. And it has been nationalizing governments, and it's steering on a very strong pro-Soviet policy. Who ruled before the communist coup, the military clique that overthrew the monarchy in 1973, declared a republic, suspended the 1965 constitution, and the landlord-dominated legislature? The leader of the coup, a former prime minister of the country, set up a republican government, but not a democracy. There are no legal parties. Under the old regime, there were no legal political parties. No opposition was allowed. Communist Party could not even exist. Yet somehow people kept their hearts inclined to Marxism and socialism and managed to get up into the military and overthrow this dread dictatorship. The leader of the 1973 coup, Lieutenant General Sardar Mohammad Daud, D-A-U-D, who was killed as the People's Revolution took place, was the president, so-called, of Afghanistan, but really a dictator. He is a brother-in-law and cousin of the deposed king, and was forced out as prime minister a decade, that means 10 years, before the coup or the military takeover. The royal family has been ousted from power, but by faction of the same ruling elite. The ruling elite that has just now been overthrown just a few weeks ago. The Pathan ruling class was the ruling class before the communist revolution that made it pro-Soviet, P-A-T-H-A-N. The military faction now is very sympathetic to the Soviet Union. And now it gets all of its military aid. But it's not controlled by its northern neighbor, the Soviet Union, though its alliances are growing closer and closer. Most powerful in terms of day-to-day control of the impoverished masses of Afghanistan before this last revolution were the religious clerics. They act as legal arbiters and teachers in the villages and wield great moral authority among the villagers. This will now be changed under new districting. Religion is not going to be abolished because it's a Muslim nation. The one that became pro-Marxist, pro-Soviet, is a Muslim leader that now leads that nation of Afghanistan. 70% of the population that lives in villages scattered throughout the mountain or desert countryside is too remote, far removed from urban centers, city centers, to have much part in the city economy or the urban economy. Their social structures are basically feudal. Are tribal before this last revolution. That's where they're coming from, jumping from feudalism into socialism. Quite a jump. It'll take quite a while to eliminate the vestiges of poverty. The merchant class of the cities was largely involved in agricultural trade, the capitalist class, including export of agricultural goods. There is little industry that is changing now since the revolution. A few weeks ago, they're beginning a five-year plan to embrace great changes. Landlords, supported by the religious clerics, formed the ruling class of the country before the recent coup. In the past two decades, 20 years, Afghanistan has received a total of $1.5 billion in military and economic aid from the Soviet Union to try to help eliminate its poverty. $425 million from the USA. And $72 million from China, all were courting its favor through these years. but the Soviets won out. Afghanistan is known for its high-quality hashish, H-A-S-H-I-S-H, particularly in Mazar, M-A-Z-A-R, -E-E, Sharif, capital S-H-A-R-I-F-F, and Kandahar, K-A-N-D-A-A-R. We should learn as much as we can about all kinds of foods, too. Anyone that knows different foods, because much of the world eats rice and they eat it deliciously. We can make our foods always very, very tasty. A couple of other people knew how to make some cook-up rice, and that's being given to the kitchen by my suggestion, so we can enjoy. I love rice. Since I've been on the people's meals, I found I was the one that was being punished on the diet that I was having. Now let us go to Algeria, which has meaning to us because of the Battle of Algiers. Where is the location? North Africa, fanning out from the Mediterranean in the north to the Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A. In the south, where it borders Niger, N-I-G-E-R, and Mali, M-A-L-I. Look us up, you will be tested. Tunisia, T-U-N-S-I-A, and Libya, a socialist state, are on the east. Morocco, a fascist state. Mauritania, still under fascist control, as is Tunisia. And Spanish Sahara, on the west, still under control of fascist colonialism, French, USA imperialism. So Algeria stands with Libya fairly alone in its liberation. How created? Algiers was one of the North African Barbary, B-A-R-B-A-R-Y, states, which throughout the 17th and early 18th centuries thrived on piracy. They were pirates, the best of the pirates. In 1830, the French subjugated the coastal cities, and over the next 70 years, conquered the interior and established the present-day boundaries. There was resistance to the French from the outset. The final drive for independence led by the National Liberation Front, Socialist, FLN, culminated or ended in the French pulling out in 1962. What is the size of Algeria? 896,588 square miles, as opposed to 83,000 square miles in Guyana. So you get an idea, nearly 10 times larger, and it's three times the size of Texas. Population, over 16 million. Still, a better ratio of population per food here in this country than there, and much, much more arable land, edible, fertile land that can grow every diverse thing that is needed for survival. Population is 16 million, made up of 80.4% Arabs, 18.7% Berbers, B-E-R-B-E-R, and others, Christians and white, include just 1%. 98% are Muslim, yet they went socialist. They've been helping liberation forces all over the world, and were a haven for many black activists, Black Panther leaders, who were being crucified by U.S. imperialism all through the 60s. Who rules? The National Revolutionary Socialist Council, headed by the President, and the National Assembly, who really rules in terms of the actual control. The National Liberation Front is the only recognized Marxist political party. Its members nominate all candidates for the National Assembly, who are then elected. But they have choices of different Marxist candidates. But, contrary to this text that I'm having to interpret, they don't realize that Marxists cannot allow capitalist opposition, because the capitalists are a breed of selfish people who are always trying to take over again the people's property, the means of production, the means of distribution. You can't allow Catholic, rather capitalistic freedom, the freedom for capitalists who are greedy, property mongers, lust mongers. You can't allow them to exist in a socialist state. They must be rehabilitated. And they were in Algeria, Vietnam, in training centers to learn how to do honest work rather than rob the people. The great Catholic theologian, St. Augustine, was an Algerian. Everyone knew St. Augustine for his compassionate and rather communal ideas, though he would live centuries ago. He was an Algerian born in Tagaste, T-A-G-A-S-T-E, now Souk Ahras, S-O-U-K dash capital A-H-R-A-S, in 354 A.D. That's a long time ago, only 354 years after the death of Jesus, if he ever lived. Following his conversion to Christianity in Italy, he returned to Algeria and became Bishop of Hippo, H-I-P-P-O, south of present-day Bonne, capital B-O-N-E, an office he held from 395 A.D. until his death in 430 A.D. Another great Algerian was the Nobel Prize author Albert Camus, C-A-M-U-S, born in Mondovi, M-O-N-D-O-V-I, now Drean, capital D-R-E-A-N. It's been named since the Socialist Revolution in Algeria. He was born in 1913. He was educated at the University of Algiers and lived in his homeland until 1940 when he moved to Paris, France. When France conquered Algeria and made it a colonial extension of itself, a colony, in 1830, the immediate pretext for the conquest was an incident in which the Algerian ruler, Day Hussein, H-U-S-S-E-I-N, struck French consul Deval, D-E-V-A-L, with his fly whisk during an argument. That was all the pretext. A little old diplomat was insulted because the Algerian leader struck him with a fly swatter, fly whisk, as they called it. And he had right to, because the French were making demands on their territory, aggressive demands. Prior to independence, Algeria was regarded as an integral part of metropolitan France. Nearly a million Frenchmen made their homes in Algeria. 5,000 Europeans owned over one-third of all the arable land, the food land, the productive land. The word is arable, A-R-A-B-L-E. Today, in the official propaganda, says this capitalist documentary, a great deal of lip service is paid to the principles of socialism. In actuality, the economy is run partly along socialist and partly along capitalist lines, say they. The following groups exist, although there is marked tendency to play down social distinctions, and even this text admits that there is more socialization taking place. But Algeria, again, had to jump from feudalism into socialism, and it's not easy move sometimes. The bourgeoisie, they operate the many successful smaller enterprises in the city. Well, that's small business. That's quite different, friend, than being capitalist. They have, in other words, they've not taken over all businesses. There's still some incentives left, but not big monopolies. The government has set no ceiling on how much they can earn, but the members of the bourgeoisie are very discreet as to how they spend their wealth. They tend to keep a low profile. They also prefer a vacation of simplicity, measures, spending their money at home, which helps the economy. Bureaucrats, there is a considerable bureaucracy, but the government has set a limit in Algeria on the income of all governmental officials. They can earn no more than five times the pay of the lowest factory worker's pay scale. Well, that shows honesty. City workers, whether employed privately or by the government, they are protected by an extensive system of socialized medicine, socialized insurance. There has been a significant migration to the cities in the past 40 years, with more people moving in than the cities can really absorb, which is a worldwide phenomenon, except in the Soviet Union and China. The result has been that about one-third of the labor force is underemployed. peasants. One-time French holdings have been confiscated by the government, the big monopoly corporations of the colonialists of the French, the ally of U.S. imperialism, and all U.S. monopoly corporations have been confiscated, taken over by the government, and turned into collectives. Well, that's certainly a socialistic venture. The workers are entitled to the profits of their farms. The vast majority of farms, though, are privately run, small still in nature. Half of them consist of holdings smaller than 12 acres. Desert nomads, N-O-M-A-D-S. In Algeria, they live pretty much as they always have, although the socialist government has been attempting to provide permanent settlements for some of them so they can have better standards of living. When Algeria was taken over, the illiteracy was nearly 90%. The poverty, the people dying of starvation, was over 40%. So you can't expect them to move suddenly, overnight, into a pure economy, pure socialist economy. It is interesting that even the capitalistic rundown on the nation of Algeria does not reveal any poverty now, or hunger, that is. Let us move now to Angola. A-N-G-O-L-A. Where the great Cuban freedom fighters, aided by the Soviets, liberated that troubled former colony of Portugal. Location of Angola. Southwestern Africa, to the north is Zaire. Z-A-I-R-E, the dictatorship upheld by U.S. capital. And to the east is Zambia, Z-A-M-B-I-A, that's trying to be forced into having to take the International Monetary Fund, World Bank assistance, because Carter dumped surplus copper on the market, bringing down the world pricing of copper, and copper is the major industry of Zambia. So they're having economic difficulties, though they're trying to build a socialist country. Namibia, N-A-M-I-B-I-A, is to the south and to the west of the South Atlantic. How was Angola created? Angola's boundaries were formed by the Berlin West African Congress and Imperialist Commission in 1884 and 1885, in which France, Germany, and Portugal won recognition of their colonies. In 1974, after 13 years of guerrilla warfare, Angola gained a promise of independence from Portugal. Official Independence Day was set for November 11, 1975. Not being honored, a war broke out, and the MPLA, only because of the backing of the Cubans, won the liberation of Angola and established a Marxist state. What is the size of Angola? 481,351 square miles, as opposed to 83,000 square miles in Guyana. Again, you have about six times larger. It's 14 times bigger than Portugal, its former colonial slave master. That's how unfair capitalism, colonialism, imperialism is. Angola was 14 times larger than Portugal, its former colonial slave master. What's the population? 5.8 million. Not so overpopulated. Bantu, B-A-N-T-U, form 91.5%. European whites, 6%, still living there and accepted. Amazingly enough, no matter how bad black people have been treated, it's very seldom reversed when they have a black majority that takes over. The whites can live there peacefully and conduct their businesses, conduct their lifestyle. Mixed between white and black are 2.5%. Of the African population, 33% are members of the Ovimbundu, O-V-I-M-B-U-N-D-U tribe. 25% are of the Bankongo, B-A-K-O-N-G-O. 25% are of the Kimbundu, K-I-M-B-U-N-D-U. 8% are the Chokowe, C-H-O-K-E-W-E. 50% of the population follows tribal religions, the true religions of the African culture. The colonialists were never able to convert many Angolans. 38%, though, are Roman Catholic. 12% are Christian Protestant. Who rules? Theoretically, an interim government of whites and liberation groups pledged to a one-person, one-vote election to form a constituent assembly was established by the Portuguese to draw up a new constitution. But Portugal, an ally of USA, lied, and it required an armed struggle, a revolution, to take over. And now Agostinho Neto is the prime minister, and the Marxist Party is the only party of the people in Angola, the MPLA. The Liberation Parties are only groups allowed to present. The Liberation Parties are the only groups allowed to present candidates for elections. They are the popular movement for the liberation of Angola. The Nation Front for the Liberation of Angola, and the National Union for Total Independence of Angola. As I said, the elections were not allowed, so the popular movement, the MPLA, had to take over. And in an armed struggle, they won the revolution. Before Angola became Marxist under Neto in 1976, at least 95% of the people, 95 out of 100, could not read or write. We call that illiterate. Only 35,000 blacks out of a total of over 5 million were ever to reach the assimilado status legally offered. To become an assimilado, which is A-S-S-I-M-I-L-A-D-O, a black would have to apply to a tribunal and prove that he was a Christian, that he could read and write Portuguese clearly. He had to have a steady income and would give up pagan or the native religions for European customs. And in spite of that being held down, only 35,000 blacks able to even be recognized as Uncle Toms for the Portuguese regime. Angola won its revolution. Angola might appear to be a Portuguese name. Not so. The name actually derives from that of the old king Ngola, capital N, comma, G-O-L-A, who led one of the proud kingdoms which throve in Western Africa before the immigrations of the Europeans, and while America was still undeveloped, the great civilization. Once the Europeans arrived, Angola quickly became known as the mother of Brazil, because it was the homeland of most of the blacks who were packed off to work on plantations in Brazil as slaves. Angola became one of the chief sources of slaves for the New World. North of Angola is the tiny oil-rich enclave of Cabinda. Most of you have Angolan ancestry. That's where most of you came. Cabinda is the tiny oil-rich enclave, which is also a former Portuguese colony. The new leaders of Angola want Cabinda to be ruled as a part of Angola, but many people in Portugal tried to get independence for Cabinda, but they never managed it. The Marxist Revolution saved the oil-rich enclave. Now, we move on to other countries. We move on, and we might get an education of the surrounding areas, and an understanding of people about us. Let us go to Brazil, to our south, a very vast and rich nation. Strange one, where the CIA overthrew the dictatorship, established a dictatorship over the left moderate socialist regime of President João Goulart, and ever since he's been forced to live in exile abroad. Brazil occupies Central and Eastern South America, with borders on all South American countries except Chile and Ecuador. It borders all the south of Guyana. How was it created? First discovered by Pedro, P-E-D-R-O, Alvarez, A-V-L-A-R-E-S, Cabral, C-A-B-R-A-L, in 1500. Nearly over 450 years ago.